Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back, 12 after. That's Robert Cray on guitar, ladies and gentlemen. That's some Bad News Blues right there. Rob Jolliss is our guest. He's the president of Jolliss Associates. He's the guy who travels all around the country, sometimes around the world, helping his clients to do a better job of putting their best foot forward in the marketplace, whether that be in sales training or taking care of their customers or whatever it is. Mostly it revolves around making sure we take care of our customers, and that's one of the things he wants to talk about with us today, is making sure that we take care of our customers and clients. Rob, welcome back to the show.
It's good to be back. Thanks,
Jim. It's good to have you back. Happy New Year.
Thanks.
And by the way, folks, he's also the author of a book that's now sold something under a million copies worldwide, Customer-Centered Selling, 8 Steps to Success from the World's Best Salesforce. Rob, how many languages is your book in now?
I think it's 6 or 7 languages. I have them on the shelf, and some of the languages I can't even recognize.
I'm jealous because my book's only in one language.
Well, it'll get there.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. But, folks, that's just an example of what a good book this is, Customer-Centered Selling. And, of course, I'll remind you, many of you will remember that Rob and I share a similar background. Both of us were Xeroids at one time. I worked for Xerox in the 70s, early 80s, and he worked for Xerox in the 80s. And so we have that thing going for us. Rob, you wanted to talk today, I think, about making sure that we take care of our clients, especially when we're not exactly tied to, we're not exactly planted in the ground in our office.
I have a client that I'm going to be seeing today. Actually, I'm flying to Phoenix, and I'll leave the client's name out, but it's a big client. And one of my concerns sometimes is, I've been working with this client for 2 years. And what they told me as we were kind of getting this program together, it's their kickoff meeting, is, you know what, Rob, we're looking for something new. We want something new. The guys are talking about something new. Bring them something new. And, it's strange for a sales trainer to be concerned about that, but I'll tell you why that bothered me a little bit. What I would prefer clients do is, rather than something new, let's master what we've been working on for 2 years. In other words, maybe take a new approach to mastering the process that we have in place. But, Jim, you and I talked, and yes, we were. You were a Xeroid in the mid-70s, early 80s. I was kind of early 80s to late 80s. But the one thing that we share more than just the name of Xerox is we learned a process.
Yeah.
And what Xerox didn't do was change the process every couple of years. Mm-hmm. The way you learned to sell was the way I learned to
exactly.
sell. Our success depended on how well we could implement what we were taught, not change.
And you know what? Over 20 years later, I still use it.
Well, over 20 years later, when I'm on the road, I would say every other time I'm in front of a large audience, somebody comes up to me with a tattered, laminated card to keep in their wallet with professional selling skills, one of the old Xerox models.
Yeah.
And they proudly hold it up and say, still using it.
Yeah.
And that could be 20 or 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
My point to this client was, rather than change our process and bring something new, let's bring some creative techniques to continue to master what you've learned.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Xerox is really, people don't understand. They're so successful at maybe not so much a brilliant sales process, but a brilliant approach to implementing the
mm-hmm.
sales process.
Mm-hmm.
So in any case, I've got a bunch of job aids loaded up under my arm at a 3 o'clock flight, and we're going to make it new and exciting. But what they won't know is, we'll be working on that same golf swing. We're just going to find new games on the course to play to master that same golf swing.
That's the right way to say it, because the thing is that so many of the things that the fundamentals, Rob, that have been tried and true, we don't have to throw those away to operate in the new economy. We shouldn't throw them away. What I've said for several years, Rob, that the new economy is not about new rules, it's about new tools.
Yeah.
And the PSS you were talking about a minute ago, that's an old rule, But the different courses, as you were to use the analogy you were using, those are the new tools.
Right.
And so the fundamentals haven't changed, folks. The way we apply those fundamentals has changed.
Yeah. You know, somebody when I was in Minnesota about 5 years ago handed me a book they found in their. This is a classic story. Actually found in their grandfather's attic from 1918, and it was a sales book, and it had a cartoon of a guy whistling with his briefcase. And on page 3, it said in that book, we've got to do a better job of asking questions and listening. And, you know, it's
that
not
sounds
that
like a Dale Carnegie book.
Well, sure, but my point is, that's not revolutionary.
Right.
But so many salespeople don't do it because they get away from those types of tactics. Now, we, of course, need to get deeper than that, but these are not new ideas. I like the way you put it, new tools, new ideas to implement what we all have to do, what's been there, what still works. Why would we want to not ask questions and listen? Why would we not want to follow the customer's decision cycle and check their decision points? Why wouldn't we want to trial close intelligently? These aren't new ideas.
Mm-mm.
We have to use new approaches to implementing these ideas.
Well, you know, Rob, one of the things that I focus a lot on the show that more and more of my Brain Trust members are bringing up is the fact that today, what you're being successful in selling is not about what you've got to sell. It's finding out what keeps your customers up at night and figuring out how to get it to them.
Boy, you hit that one on the
head. And the thing is, if you think about it, there's nothing in what I just said that you and I didn't learn 20 years ago from Xerox and that I didn't learn 10 years before that with Sears. And so the fundamentals haven't changed. The only thing that's changed, in my opinion, along those lines, Rob, is the fact that we need to do it more now than ever before.
Exactly.
Because today, we've actually gotten to the point now, Rob, when I was a kid, I don't know about you, but because I know you're a whole lot younger than me, but when I was a kid, time was money, but their money was more valuable than their time. Today, most people, their time is more valuable than their money.
Interesting. Yeah, I tend to agree with that. And that's, you know, we have to be sensitive to that. And continue to use, and as you said, how many times, and here I teach it, train it, and have written about it, and I still will lose seminars or sales, and a client will tell me, yeah, we went with this company because we didn't realize we had a problem here, and they've got some good approaches to solving it. Well, how come I didn't find it?
Hang on, Rob. We're going to take a quick break. Rob Jollis, ladies and gentlemen, Customer-Centered Selling is his book. It's available wherever books are sold, and if you want it in another language, you can find it there, too. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 23 after. My website is www.jbsba.com. Our phone number is 800-531-3815, toll free, coast to coast. Rob Jollis is our guest, and on the book, it's Robert L. Jollis, and that's J-O-L-L-E-S, Jollis. And that's how you type it in to the online search engines or any of the Amazon or Barnes & Noble if you want to find out more about Rob's book, Customer-Centered Selling, which I recommend to you. And if, as you know, if I didn't, he wouldn't be here. And Rob, give us your website, please.
www.jolles.com.
What do we find when we get there?
Well, you'll find a couple things. Actually, you'll find just information and about seminars and workshops that we deliver and keynotes and things like that. Also, we've been exploring and experimenting for the last year with what we call a web-based simulator. It's actually not available to the public. It's available to people who've gone through training, but it's one of my ways to, again, hammer on what we've been hammering on in this half hour, which is to say, if you've taken a workshop with a sales trainer before, what happens when he leaves?
Right.
Usually, okay, we've got a book or a pamphlet. A simulator allows my clients to actually apply what they've learned online in their own environment at their own time, but to rehearse and practice so that when they get with a client, they're ready to go.
Very smart. Adding value to the relationship, it keeps you connected to your customers. folks, you heard me talking an hour ago about communities, about building your communities. Rob is building, he's already built the community with these people. They're part of his community, and this is the way he stays connected to them. Very smart, Rob.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's a tremendous value-added capability. Folks, those are the kinds of things we all need to be thinking more about. When you heard me say an hour ago, get your head into these communities, understand what they need, and that's a classic example, Rob. Thanks for bringing that up. And by the way, folks, Rob can work with you in a virtual way, or he can work with you face-to-face. Right, Rob?
That's correct.
You know, Rob, we were talking earlier about the fundamentals and how things really haven't changed that much. We just have to, you know, put a little bit of a different bell or a whistle on, or a little different approach or spin on something. But when I was coming up, my mentors taught me how to ask the questions, the same questions we're asking today, but it was about a different thing. It was about, where are you spending your money? How can I make sure you're getting more for your money? Today, when I go into the marketplace, I don't talk to people about money first. We talk about time first.
Right.
Well, you know, finding that?
Yeah, it actually sometimes depends on personality, but they say in the classic sales books, they'll say, well, there's three important things: money, time, and image. I kind of disagree. I think image affects money. I think time affects money. Then it just becomes a question of how your client communicates those issues. So what you're doing, and I've heard you before, is you keep your probe so wide open early that your client will begin to dictate and define those trigger points, rather than us guess those trigger points. I kind of wish sometimes we really were more therapists than salesperson, because I think with, not that I know Jim, but I think when you go to a therapist, I don't think you walk in, he looks at you and says, here's your problem.
Right.
He may very well know what your problem is. He just knows you're not going to do anything about it if you walk in and he starts telling you about
it. Right, it's too easy.
Right, he starts from the beginning, he gains some comfort with you so that you will share information that might be a little private.
Builds a relationship.
To the world of business, exactly. And then what do you do as a therapist? If you want to create change, you let them go deeper into that problem and look at it from as many angles as possible, and that's what salespeople need to do. Don't just, okay, here's the problem. Why are we fixing it? Don't fix it. Let them talk about it. Let them articulate it. Let them look at it. Let them measure it in terms of time, as you've said, Jim, or money, and then perhaps we'll have a better shot of getting somebody to actually act on their problem rather than whine about their problem.
Mm-hmm. You know, Rob, I keep thinking about this tool, this tool that you've added to your website.
Web-based simulator.
Say that again.
It's a web-based simulator. It actually is a twofold.
Does it have a brand name? Have you branded it?
That's not just what I call a web-based simulator.
Okay.
No trademark there. But it's got two functions to it. First of all, from a management function, what a lot of managers say is, hey, we put our people through all these training in the past. We never know what they've actually been able to retain or learn.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing they do when they hit that simulator is they take what's called a post-assessment, which is, I don't know how to put it any other way, but a quiz based on what they've learned. What's interesting about that is only the sales manager can look at, through a code, can look at his entire or her entire team of numbers and identify not only what they were able to retain, but maybe as a group, what they need to work on. And so, one, you have it from a management scenario of, good, I have my hands around what they got and what they didn't get. And then the second thing is for the salesperson themselves, they have a way to rehearse and practice through a simulation, basically having to ask and select the correct questions in the correct sequence. And if they don't, the simulator will actually throw them right off. The client will get up and leave.
Rob,
yeah.
Here's the question.
Mm-hmm.
This is a lesson for us, folks. How many sales trainers do you think there are in America today? How many, maybe 10, 20,000?
I would guess that many.
How many of them have a follow-up online simulator like you have?
Well,
it's how you separate yourself, folks. It's how you deliver sometimes the same stuff in a different way and make yourself more compelling. That's what we all need to do more of. Rob, you're a great example.
Thank you very much.
Rob Jollis, ladies and gentlemen, the author of Customer Centered Selling. He'll be back, I promise. Thanks, Rob. Be careful today on your trip. Got to go for this half hour. We're going to be right back, though, in just a few minutes. Right after this next break, I'll be right back with Anita Rosen. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot. As Stevie Dan takes us out.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.